a privilege and a pleasure to be with the Lord's people. This is a foretaste of heaven. And I want to tell you, if, as I said yesterday, if you have found what we just heard boring, something's wrong with you. Why, it was thrilling to even know and to be reminded of our own shortcomings and to be reminded of how those shortcomings can be restored. Now, many of you, no doubt, believe that we shall be reading from the book of Ruth. We're going to change a little bit. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 5. Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 5. We will start at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, hard to be understood, seeing, now most of your Bibles will say, seeing ye are dull of hearing. The better rendering, seeing you have become dull of hearing. For at the time that you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. Again, what are the first principles of the oracles of God? And are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. Everyone that uses milk has no experience in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. Strong meat, solid food, belongs to them that are of full age, mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. May the Lord bless to us the reading of His Word, our subject this afternoon, Christian education. Now in the secular world, and in this country, there is much concern about the system of education and the results of that system. I read recently that there are in the United States 27 million Americans who have been through the public schools in the last 20 years and they cannot read. Only 6% of high school graduates can read a newspaper, write a 2-page essay, and complete a 2-step mathematical problem. This means that 94% of high school seniors cannot do these things. It has been pointed out that when most of our high school graduates finish, they can't read, and when they finish college, they can't think. Sad commentary. But this afternoon we want to consider Christian education. Now when we send our children to school, we expect them to learn. Now, beloved, we are in God's school. And we have a group of believers here who were making no progress. I ask you, child of God, have you made progress in the school of the Bible in, well, say, the last 5 years? Do you know any more about God and His Word this evening than you knew a year ago? I'm reminded of something that happened in high school. We had a very fine professor there. Oh, he was a hard man. But you know those hard professors were the best. Dr. Kelleher was his name, and I remember the first day that we entered his English class. He walked in and he looked at us and he said, "How many of you can write?" We all raised our hands. We could write. He says, "All right, I'll be back." He didn't tell us what to write. He came back and he said, how many of you have written anything? None of us. He didn't mean handwriting. He meant writing in the sense of literature. And then I remember at the end of the first report card, oh, we began to learn how to write. The grades were very poor. And as the Lord would have it, he was good to me. Only three of us passed. And we all got 66. 1 point above passing. Second report card, I was hurt, disappointed. 64. I went up, I said, Dr. Kelleher, I don't understand this. I got 66 the first time, and now I get 64. He said to me, what makes you think you should get more than 64? I said, well, I did the same this last quarter as I did the previous one. He said, that's the trouble. In this class, you either go forward or you go backward. You don't stay the same place. A child of God is the same in the Word of God and in God's school. You don't stay the same place. You are either advancing in your knowledge and learning of God, or you're going backwards. Now let us see what happened to these people. Verse 11, they became dull of hearing. That means that there was a time when they could hear. They became dull of hearing. Now why did they become dull of hearing? Did some disease take hold of all these believers? Did some serious injury take hold of all these believers? I think if you will check carefully, you'll find no. What then was the reason for this becoming dull of hearing? Matthew chapter 13. There was nothing wrong with their hearing as such. And as we shall read, the problem was with them. Matthew chapter 13, verse 14. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Notice, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should hear. Acts chapter 28. What happened to these people? How did they become dull of hearing? Chapter 28 of Acts. Verse 27. The heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should hear with their ears. What happened to their hearing? They closed their ears. There was no disease. They just refused to listen. That was their problem. Now, we have been here at a weekend conference, O child of God. I hope that you haven't closed your ears. Matthew 13. And again, I'm not apologizing for turning to the scriptures. Matthew 13 and verse 16. Blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. Beloved, it is a blessed thing and a privilege from God to be able to hear His word. I think of our brother and those with him who will be leaving for Russia to serve the Lord among people who for years did not hear the word of God. They weren't allowed to hear it. Oh, I trust that God will bless you and prosper you immensely. It is a blessing to hear the word of the Lord. Now, the thing is how we respond to what we hear. That's the important thing. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 23. Remember, it's a blessing to be able to hear. Mark chapter 4, verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Can you hear? Now, I'm not talking about physical hearing necessarily. I'm talking about that hearing of God's voice. As we mentioned yesterday, that gentle, soft whisper which requires attention if you're going to hear his voice. Now, verse 24. The Lord said unto them, take heed what you hear. We'll come to that. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Now that's a difficult sentence to understand as read in the King James Version. I'll sort of update it for you. The measure of attention that you give will be the measure of profit that you get. You follow me? The more attention you give to what you hear, the more you will derive in benefit. On one of the columns at the Pennsylvania Station in Washington, D.C., at the top there, I forget the name of that top piece, there's an inscription. He that would gain the wealth of the Indies must bring the wealth of the Indies with him. The more attention that we give to the Word of God, the more we will get out of it. And these people had turned their ears. That's why they made no progress. And so, beloved, when the Lord's servants speak, don't say he's boring or he is dull. Listen to him. God has something to say. Some people are upset with many of the speakers in the assemblies. They don't use good English. Why, I heard of a brother even recently criticizing another brother and said, his trouble is he splits infinitives. Pretty poor English, isn't it? And then others say, well, he doesn't look like very much. And they want someone who looks like somebody and uses all those long words. Now, mark you, trace it carefully. The word, the Lord, when he was here, very seldom used a word with more than four syllables. And he was gone. But we like to hear these people with these long syllables, pretending that they know something. Don't you know that that's a cover-up for ignorance? Why, we do that in medicine and in science. When you don't know a thing, you give it a long name. Present it to the public, and they think, oh my, he's brilliant. He's not really, just doesn't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Reading about, of all people, the Apostle Paul. Now remember, this man was highly educated, the best education of the day. For the sake of time, we won't turn to it. One time they were amazed that he spoke Greek. Another time they were amazed that he spoke Hebrew. Now, mark you, he spoke it. It didn't say he read it. It's possible, and I've had many instructors who can read a foreign language, but they can't speak it. Paul spoke both Greek and Hebrew. Anybody here does that? All right, you will grant that Paul was quite a fellow. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 10 says, his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful. He can write. His bodily presence is weak. He doesn't look like anybody. And his speech, well, he is contemptible. The Apostle Paul, this is. And this is the criticism of it. He doesn't look like anybody. And his speech is poor. And so often we come to the meetings and we criticize the speaker. He doesn't look like anybody. And his speech is defective. Don't you let that deceive you. Now, by this time, you know that I am a lover of instrumental music, especially the keyboard instruments. And over the years, from time to time, I'd heard on the television, no, on the radio, a certain pianist play. Oh, he played marvelously. And then I got notice that he was going to appear on television. And this man whose music I admired, now I was going to see him. Why? Well, when the time came, there was this piano like yours here, concert grand, you know. And out came a man with one shoulder up and one down, his back twisted. I said, well, he must be the piano tuner. You know how at these concerts somebody comes out and tunes to make everything is sure? Well, it's in the order. I said, this man is the piano tuner. He could not be that artist that I've been hearing. And then he sat at the piano. I said, well, all right, you have to sit to tune the piano, maybe this. And suddenly he began to play. And I need to tell you, he played. And the next day I said, let me inquire about this man, because he didn't look like much. But he sounded very good. The man can hardly move his wrists. His elbows are restricted. He has no feeling in the little fingers. He can only move one joint of one finger, of each finger. And he was at the piano. He didn't look like much, but I tell you, he sounded like plenty. And so, beloved, when we come to the meetings, don't look for the speaker or look at him. Don't. We should not be in the position to say, he's a great speaker. When the speaker finishes, we should say, he is a great God. That's what he's there for. But so often we go by his appearance. What does he look like? Now, it is important that we give attention to what we are hearing. We saw that last night in connection with Elijah. We saw it in connection with Samuel. Turn with me, please, to 1 Kings chapter 20. Well, even the ungodly know that it's important to listen carefully. 2 Kings chapter 20, did I say? Yes. I'm sorry. 1 Kings chapter 20. Let's read verse 28. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 28. There came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is the God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys, therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. They pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the 7th day the battle was joined. The children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day. The rest fled to Aphek into the city. There was a wall fell upon 27,000 that were left. And then Hadad fled and came into the city into an inner chamber. Now, let's read carefully. His servant said unto him, behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins, ropes on our heads, and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure, he will save thy life. So, they girded sackcloth on their loins, put ropes on their heads, and came to the king of Israel and said, thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. And the king of Israel said, is he yet alive? He is my brother. Now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. And they said, thy brother Benadad. They were listening carefully. And the minute that that king said, brother, they grabbed it. It meant goodwill for Benadad. When we come under the sound of the word of God, and in our private study, we need to give careful and diligent attention to the things that we hear. Now, in the few minutes left, I want us to study an example of a man who paid attention and who learned and who developed. You know, when we send our children to school, we expect them to learn. And in God's school, God expects us to learn. Ezra chapter 7. Book of Ezra, chapter 7. Now, young people, I am not picking on you. The Lord knows I love you. But I want you to follow me very carefully. If we're going to learn and develop in the school of God. Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. Skilled scribe in the scriptures. Child of God, we want to become skilled in the scriptures, in the word of God. He was a scribe. He wrote, he copied the word of God. And he did it skillfully. Every word was important. And in copying, you know, it's very easy to make a mistake, especially the Hebrew. Some letters are so similar, it's easy to make a mistake. He was a careful scribe. Child of God, this is the word of God. We must be careful when we read it. Read it carefully. This is not the time for Evelyn Wood's speed reading. Do not speed read the Bible. Speed read the comics. Speed read the magazines. Speed read the news. Most of it isn't worth speed and reading anyhow. But don't speed read the Bible. He was a careful scribe. Careful copier of the scriptures. Read the word of God with reverence. History tells us that when these scribes went to copy the name Jehovah, they washed their hands. And then they got a fresh quill. That's the regard they had for Jehovah. Washed hands and a fresh quill before they would write his name. And when we approach the word of God, we need to approach it with reverence. It's God's word. We need to stop this casual approach to the word of God. It's his word. Read it slowly and carefully and reverently. He washed his hands before and used a fresh quill. Now come down to verse 10. He had reverence for the word of God. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the word of the Lord, to study. He set his heart. He discipled, he disciplined himself and decided, I am going to learn the word of God. Oh, young people, again, I urge you to make up your minds to learn the word of God. Now, I know you have a lot of schoolwork. I know all about that. But somewhere in between, some time of the day, study the word of God and nothing beside. I'm going to suggest something to you. Try this. Get in your room, alone, your Bible, in the presence of the Lord, and give only 10 minutes. That's all. Give 10 minutes and stop. Pray and go on about your business. Now you try that and see what will happen. Careful reading of the Word of God. But you have to prepare your heart. You have to make a decision. I am going to learn the Word of God. You remember Rebecca? When Abraham's servant came to her, he had never seen her, she had never seen him. And as for Isaac, she didn't know a thing about Isaac. She made a decision. Will thou go with this man? What she said, say, I will go. Decision making. We saw it with Ruth yesterday. We also see it with Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now you do what you want, we're going to serve the Lord. Young men and young women, you have to make decisions. And one of your decisions should be to learn the Word of God. We looked at those three Hebrew men yesterday, didn't we? Decision. They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. Decision making. Ezra prepared his heart, many of your Bibles say, to seek. To study. That's what the word is, the law of God. To study. Psalm 1 tells us about meditating. One of our troubles today is we don't do enough meditating. The psalmist tells us, while I was musing, the fire burned. We don't want to muse, we want to be amused. That's our trouble. And you've got to spend time if you're going to meditate. Time over the Word of God. Have you ever noticed that there are certain bees that fly from flower to flower? They don't bring back very much. But that bee that stays there and extracts that nectar, that bee brings much to the hive. Child of God, if you're going to know the Word of God, you've got to spend time with the Word of God. I like to take pictures. I enjoy photography. But you know, most of the photography that we do, we just click, that's a snapshot. Picture is taken in a hundredth of a second, 200th of a second. And they have some film, you can take a picture in a thousandth of a second. Now, I was in Denver many years ago. And in the photographer's shop, there was a beautiful picture of the state capitol and some buildings around. I said to the photographer, where can I go to get that picture? He said to me, I'll tell you where you can go, but you can't get that picture. I went there. You know what I did? A time exposure. Not a fraction of a second. 60 seconds. And I got the picture. If you're going to know this book, you've got to spend time with it. I had a friend. He was interested in pathology. And he spoke to a certain man. This man said to him, all right, I will recommend you to study pathology. But there's one thing you're going to have to do. You're going to have to sit and look through that microscope and sit some more, even if you get corns. And he learned pathology. Spending time. And as our brother was saying, you know, I don't know what you find more amusing than the Word of God. Do you know the Word is thrilling? And especially for you young people. I gave this example before this morning, and you probably have heard it before. But I'm going to give it to you again. Do you know the Bible is up to date? Now you young ones, they have what is known as CPR. Have you heard of that, CPR? Sure. Very simple thing, but you know they have to give it a long name. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Doesn't that sound impressive? I passed a course in cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Boy, You must know something. Well, it's simply the matter of what to do if a person thinks or such a thing, how to restore that person, how to resuscitate that. That's all it is. Now notice, you see, when I went to school, they told me that you should put the patient with his face down, see? And make certain motions on his chest, and that you would resuscitate him that way. Why? How do they do it today? Face down or face up? Face up. Elijah was called to revive a little child. What position did he put the child in? Face up. Way back there, Elijah knew it, and we just learned it here in the last 20 years. And it was in here all the time. I tell you, the book is thrilling. Young people, keep with it. Learn it. Oh, I could tell you some other things. They wasted a lot of time about the shape of the earth. There were those who said that the earth was being sustained by two elephants. It was flat. And when the elephants moved, for any reason, you had an earthquake. Then there were those who said that a real strong man named Atla was holding the earth up. And what did the Bible say? He sets the earth on nothing. And they finally found that out. And it was all in here all the time. Old child of God, young people in particular, learn the word of God and study it every day. That's the way you make progress. Student was asked, how is it that you do so well? You're so far ahead of all your other classmates. He said, they spend their money on alcohol. I spend my money on oil. Now, you younger ones don't know anything about an oil lamp, but that's what they used years ago, the oil lamp. And he spent his money buying oil. He said, I've spent more time on oil than they have spent even on wine. Now, the Bible is a treasure hole. It has many nuggets of gold and precious stone in it. Now, tell me, do you go out in the street and pick up gold? Anybody? Have you ever been out there and picked up a piece of gold? Even by accident? If you want gold, you have to dig. Am I right? And if you want the treasures of this book, you'll have to dig. We are there. And God will help you. I urge you young people to learn the word of God. Take time with it and dig. Stay there. It'll thrill you. And you'll save some money. You won't have to buy all these other thrilling books. Another thing that Ezra did, and it's so necessary if we're going to learn the word of God, you have to get alone with God. You know, there are some things that you can only do well if you are alone. Deep study, writing literature, writing music. Or there are other things you can do in company with other people. You know, you walk down the street, and our brother has been talking about two lovers. Can't you imagine two lovers walking down the street in a nice place looking at the flower? That's fine. You can do that alone. But if you're going to learn this book, you've got to, or rather, you can't do that alone. You're going to learn this book. You have to be alone. We don't have time to do it. Check and see how much time the Lord spent alone. And he was God. Alone to pray. Alone with his disciples. Very God, when he was here, took time to be alone. But we must go on. Ezra, verse 10, prepared his heart to study the law of God and to do it. We've been talking about that. Do the work. As we mentioned yesterday, the Bible wasn't given us to give us head knowledge. It was given us so that we might put it in practice. And I want to mention again, if we put the Word of God in practice, we don't have to say a word, people will know. They will notice. And then the next thing we know, oh, by the way, we find examples of that. Remember what the two disciples said about the Lord, Luke chapter 24. We can't turn there for the sake of time. And that's also chapter 1. He began to teach and to do. Or was it to do and to teach? Which is it? He did it first, and then he taught it. And that's the last thing we read here. Ezra prepared his heart to study the law of God, to do it, and to teach it. Beloved, you cannot teach it until you do it. And many of you have had all types of teachers. What kind of teacher are you? There is the mediocre teacher. He tells. A good teacher explains. A superior teacher demonstrates. And a great teacher inspires. And we can all be affected that way. Doing what the Word says. But before we do it, we have to know it. And one other thing, we must always remember that we need the Holy Spirit. He wrote the book, and he is present to tell us what he means by what's in the book. We talked about that yesterday. That's one of the beautiful things about this book. You see, for example, Julius Caesar wrote the Gallic Wars, and Cicero wrote some things, and some other people, but they're not here to explain it. The Holy Spirit that wrote this book is present with the believer to explain it. You know why he doesn't tell us more? We don't sit still and listen. We have a perfect textbook and a perfect teacher, and if we don't learn, the trouble is with us. Time is up. If we're going to make progress in education in spiritual things, we must give ourselves to the Word of God. We must open our ears and listen to the voice of God. And beloved, let us not be so critical one of another. And of the men that come to the platform, listen to them. You'd be surprised how much you'd learn from them. Don't worry about broken English. Don't worry about appearance. Listen to them as to the voice of God. For when God speaks through his servants, he is speaking. Time doesn't permit us. But on more than one occasion, when the children of Israel refused Moses, and then again they refused Samuel, the Lord said, they have not refused you, they have refused me. I trust the Lord will bless us. I've been a little disjointed, I admit that, but I think you get the point. God would have his people to make progress in spiritual things scholastically. We have the textbook, we have the teacher, now let's devote the time, attention, and listen to him. And when we meet again the next time, I hope you'll be able to see to me, I am further in my education than I was the last time I saw you.